from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to episode 136 of Dads from the Crypt. My name is Jason. Tonight, I'm joined by Mondo.
Hello.
Jody's under the weather, but we've got a great three-time guest for you. He's the director of programming for the legendary Colonial Theater. His name is Bob Trates. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you for having me back.
Always a good time. Blobfest is around the corner. Why don't you tell us what you got going on this year?
This year, Blobfest is July 12th, 13th, and 14th. If you do show up on Thursday the 11th, we are showing Grease because sing along, because we're actually in the movie. The theater is in the movie. When they go to the drive-in, there's a trailer for The Blob, and the theater just goes crazy.
That's cool.
We started doing it just randomly here and there, and we're like, nope, we're going to put it Thursday before Blobfest. Friday night is our typical reenactment of the running out of the theater. We are the theater from the movie. If you didn't figure that out. Saturday, because it's our 25th anniversary of Blobfest, we decided we're going all Blob this year. So we've got multiple screenings of the 58 classic. We're going to be screening it in Spanish for the first time.
Oh, cool.
We are going to show Beware the Blob, which is the sequel. There's a dramatic pause. The sequel. Directed by Larry Hagman from Dallas, of all things. I mean, it's got a great cast, but I have yet to see it. So I'm saving it for the theater. And then we will be screening the 1988 Chuck Russell remake, or almost reimagine. I'd rather go with reimagine than remake. It's its own film, and it deserves to be. It flips the script on the hero and the heroine, and I really love the 88. That was the first one.
I've talked about it many times on the show. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, like one of the first horror movies I saw. And I got to meet what's his name? Kevin Dillon at LA Horror Con.
Nice.
Really cool guy. Really, really, really cool guy.
Nice. See, that'd be tough for me. He was always Bunny from Platoon, which is really awful to say, but there's no way I could not do bunny lines to him, which I'm sure he would probably find offensive. And then on that's our Saturday, and then Sunday we're going to be showing The Blob again, 58. We'll show Beware the Blob. We may show it again there, where a lot of people have been asking for it for a very long time. But then the only non-Blob movie we're showing is we're going to celebrate the 70th anniversary of Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice.
So we're going to show it on 35mm, and the 35mm that Universal has is actually in 3D. So we're going to have the old school red and blue glasses. We've done before, and I thought it was just a digital version, and they're like, no, we sent you a 35 last time. And I was like, okay, that was like 8 years ago. But they still have the print, which is amazing. Universal is really meticulous about keeping their film prints, and it's what I've been told by from Eddie Mueller from Turner Classic Movies, is that they long put into the process of keeping the films, keeping them in pristine condition, restoring them, striking new prints. So this is fantastic. But it's also Rico Browning passed away about 2 years ago. Who is the creature in the water. And he used to come to Blobfest all the time. And we did, I think we did three screenings of Creature from the Black Lagoon over the years. So I thought this was appropriate. We can pay tribute to him. And then I didn't even realize it was the 70th anniversary. So Universal is going to be helping us promote the Sunday show, which is great, because Sunday is never really the big day. Saturday is always the big day. It's got the street fair, the vendors, just a lot of craziness going on. So anything we can add to Sunday is always great. And a lot of the staff, because we've seen The Blob so many times, everybody's like, the creature in 3D is the only way to see it. And we are so excited. It's the last movie of the day on Sunday, the last thing we have to do, and we are all going to see Creature.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And to any of our listeners out there, if you guys have not had a chance to go to Blobfest, please do. I went 2 years ago and had the best time. I'll be this year, had some home renovations that unexpected that my travel budget kind of got zapped down to zero. But Blobfest was one of the best times I've had. Just awesome people, awesome movies, fun experience all around.
Thank you. Thank you. We try to make it that it's accessible for everybody, that grandparents can take the grandkids, and that the parents that like the goofy, weird, fun stuff, they don't have to worry about the kids getting too scared. You know, the Blob does have its scary moments, but it's gateway horror. It's not, right. There's nothing really gross. Now, 88, last year, 88, besides the Blob, had the most attendance. We could not believe how many, like 400 people came to see the 88 Blob on Saturday night. So we were like, we got to bring it back. If we're going to do all Blob, it just makes sense. Right. But I think it's going to become the new late night movie. Usually we just kind of end it like 7 or 8 and that's it. But we've extended this now and everybody loves the 88 version. So it's fun. Hopefully one day we can get Chuck Russell. I tried to get Shawnee Smith. It's just out of our budget. Mm-hmm. So Shawnee, if you ever hear it, you know, maybe we can negotiate something, but I'd love to have Chuck Russell or even Frank Darabont, who wrote the screenplay.
Talk to Kevin. Well, and then possibly, I don't know if there's a release date, but now David Bruckner is working on a new Blob movie.
Yes. What? Yeah, there's a new from the Hellraiser that was on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked to the rights holders, Worldwide Entertainment Corporation, who have the rights, you know, for the Blob, Beware the Blob, Dinosaurus, 4D Man, a couple of others, Equinox, which is Dennis Muren's breakout movie, and we've invited him, so we have put it out there. We would just like you to come. You don't have to talk or anything. We just want you to come and see the theater and feel the fandom that's behind this movie, so that maybe a little bit of that gets into what you're writing and going to direct and hopefully put us in the movie, which would be great. But we would just like you to come and just experience Blobfest, because it's really different. There's really nothing quite like it. There's not many movie theaters that are in movies, but actually the movie itself actually takes place inside a movie theater. Like True Romance is great when you see the vista, but it's supposed to be like Detroit and snowing. I just watched it again the other night and I'm like, I stood right there. There was no snow on that ground ever. And that's, you know, Evil Dead 2, which is inside Donnie Darko, which is the Arrow, I believe, in Santa Monica. So that's another one where, you know, yeah, but are you watching Donnie Darko or are you watching Evil Dead? You know, like it doesn't work. This is, you're attacked and then you run out of the theater that was attacked on screen. So it's really unique.
I didn't realize until like a day or so ago that the next episode of Creepshow is directed by, what's his name? David Bruckner.
Oh,
missed it by 1 week.
When we get to it, thank you for reminding me to go back and watch that, the show. So I was appreciative to, you know, oh yeah, I forgot this is on Shudder and I can catch up on them now. I don't have to wait every week anymore. I think that's when I started watching and I'm like, oh, I got to wait another week. Binging is awful. It really ruins our anticipation for things.
Yeah. Well, we want it now. So this week we're talking Creepshow. We're still in season one. We're doing episode 2, which came out on October 3rd, 2019. Jody, like we said, is not feeling well, so I'll do the plot synopsis, which I took a long time to work on and edit and Google Wikipedia to bring this to you. Okay. So we open again with the creep. He does this weird thing where he's with a gypsy and she's reading his palm and the pentagram appears and she freaks out.
She wasn't freaked out by the creeper. She was freaked out when his palm turned into a pentagram. Before that, she was super on board with reading this guy's palm.
Yeah, which again, doesn't have anything to do with it.
Was that an homage to maybe Werewolf, the old TV show, too? I know it's in, you know, the Wolfman, but I was like, wait a minute. I just got like the Werewolf vibe, that old Fox series.
Yeah, okay. I was like, trying to figure out what I have to do with anything, but now that you mention it, okay.
Yeah, I never watched that series, so I can't really comment, but that'd be cool.
I think there is a pentagram in the original Wolfman.
Yeah, there is in the original Lon Chaney Jr. one. There is.
Yeah, okay. Now I just put that together. Okay, now it finally makes sense, because I was kind of like, that's a really weird opening. But again, I wish they did a little bit more to tie them together, but okay. So the first one segment is called Bad Wolf Down. It takes place in World War II, where we have a platoon of soldiers led by Lawrence Talby. And most of the platoon gets massacred. And the remaining soldiers retreat into a French forest with the surviving men, Sergeant Quist, Private Rivers, and Doc Kessler. The soldiers manage to seek refuge within an abandoned police station, but discover that the station is inhabited by a guilt-consumed werewolf in the form of a French, I think it's a French woman, who she's locked herself in her cell with the keys, and she's trying to get to one of the soldiers' cross. That's the only way that she can die, is if she like consumes the cross, I guess, is what we find out. Overcome with cowardice and paranoia, Quist locks the others in a cell before fleeing. Before long, the station is surrounded on all sides by Nazi soldiers led by Reinhard, played by the amazing Jeffrey Combs. We'll get to him in a moment. Who is vengeful because one of the soldiers murdered his son. With no other options to escape, Talby and his men resort to drastic measures, allowing themselves to be bitten by the woman and turning themselves into werewolves, where they can use their newfound ability to slaughter their attackers. And get some good, you know, Nazi gore, which I'm always down for. And in the mad dash to the rally point, Quist accidentally steps on a landmine and loses an arm and a leg. Talby, in his human form, confronts him. As Quist begs for forgiveness, Talby states that war changes a man as he transforms into a werewolf. And see. All right, Bob, what did you think of this segment?
I just wanted to say thank you for reminding me about the show, because I looked at when you said the date, that was 20 days before my first son was born. And why I didn't come back to it, because we were in baby mode. We went in full baby mode. So I did see, the interesting thing was, I did see the werewolf segment of this episode. And I'm like, did I watch the second one? Did I watch the second one? And we'll get to that one in a second. But I really like this one. I had to turn my brain off, because I've written a script about World War II. I've read a lot of books about World War II. And it really bothers me when I see segregated troops when there's not an explanation. Because there weren't any segregated troops. And the medic here is a black soldier. So that really, I have to detach my brain. Overlord in 2018 was a movie where the one lead character was a black soldier, paratrooper. And I'm like, no, he would not have been with this unit. Like, that did not happen. So I had to really detach my brain. But once I did that, I felt like I was inside the Creepshow, Tales from the Crypt, like EC Comics world. And I was just like, just go with it, have fun, enjoy the ride. And that's where I had to turn my brain off. And then once I got to that point, I was like right back into that love of just that fun and just go with it. I think there are times, I know I do, I overthink things and I can't just enjoy myself. And I just had to do it. I'm like, I don't really 100% remember how it goes. And by the time the door locked, I was like, yep, I got it. It's like remembering the Twilight Zone you've only ever seen once. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm like, yep, all right, I got it. That's what I would have done. You know, okay, we're screwed. So we might as well just all get bit by the werewolf. I said to my wife, we watched it the other night, and I was like, boy, this guy does a great Jeffrey Combs imitation. I'm like, he's just right about there, man. He's almost Jeffrey Combs. It's like Jeffrey Combs light. Yeah, when you say Jeffrey Combs, I was like, oh man. Because he's fantastic. He really is. I mean, he's been in some real awful crap. Castle Freak being one that I cannot stand. It's just a waste of Jeffrey Combs. Pretty sure that was Jeffrey Combs. But always fantastic to watch. And I really liked it. I thought it was a great comeuppance. Very low budget. Very, very low budget. But I did appreciate how they got around the budget by doing the comic book thing.
Yeah.
And that was, I'm like, that's smart. And that the werewolves look like the Rob Bottin werewolves from The Howling. That was great. With the ears coming up, I was like, of course Nicotero is going to like make the guys do that, you know, so that they pay homage to Joe Dante and Rob Bottin's werewolves. I just thought that was great. So I really liked it.
All right, Mondo.
Yeah, I'm with you on this and a couple other things. Just the captain's name, Larry Talbot, was reminiscent of Larry Talbot from the yeah. Wolfman, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, I was a big fan of this one. I just watched it before. I had a long day at work. I just watched it before we started recording, and I had a smile on my face. It was what I needed. It felt like an old pulp comic, like you mentioned, an old EC comic. Yeah. It felt very Tales from the Crypt, with a lot of great action, a lot of great gore. I love, and you did bring this up, I love the scene where he's transforming into the werewolf, and you see his face starting to transform, and then it goes to the comic book and shows the rest of the transformation. Brilliant. Brilliant. And the storyline, whenever you see some Nazis getting what they deserve,
yeah.
Can you really be upset? Like... No, it's good. It was like, now I want a Castle Wolfenstein game with werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
Which
also reminding me a lot. Yeah.
Why don't we have that?
Also remind. We do? Yeah, we should. I was a big fan of this one. Jeffrey Combs is always as awesome as the. And then this episode never takes itself too seriously. There is always kind of that little air of goofiness to it, which fits in really well with Creepshow, really well with Tales from the Crypt. I have one other thing I just told you. My brain is one. Oh, the two privates named Doc and Rivers. That had to have been right, like a homage to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Or he was a Knick player, right? Because he's like, because the way they introduce him, he goes, Doc Rivers. And it's, I was like, that had to have been intentional.
Being that I'm from the Philadelphia area, he was a coach for the 76ers. So I did, I was like,
oh, okay.
Maybe. And I'm like, I don't know if that's maybe. Who knows out there? Because Nicotero is originally, I thought, from Pittsburgh. So, you know, I know that he's involved. You know, obviously, I thought there'd be more Pittsburgh kind of thing. But yeah, that was another quick little thing. It's like Bert and Ernie and It's a Wonderful Life. You're like, what? Did you say Bert and Ernie?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll hop in. This is... like the most Tales from the Crypt episode like that we've seen so far. This could easily have been the Tales from the Crypt. Very, very easily episode. Extremely of that, which just stayed very true to that vibe of those comics. If anything, I kind of wanted this to be longer because I felt like it went too quickly for a lot of the scenarios that they were going through. Like, I mean, Dog Soldiers is an excellent, excellent movie, which, you know, this is kind of almost another riff on. So, like, Dog Soldiers with Nazis. Okay, I'm there. Who doesn't love seeing Nazis get ripped to pieces? I thought the werewolf effects were okay. I'm not a huge werewolf guy in general. With the comic transitions, it's like, well, I don't know if it's better to do something stylistic than try to do an effect, but we've seen that kind of effect so many times. It's probably cheaper and you're setting yourself up for maybe disappointment. By doing that. So I'm like, okay, that's a different way to do it. That's a good way to use the medium. Again, I could watch much more Jeffrey Combs in that role. They can only do with what the time they have, but I kind of would have loved to see a longer version of this. And we get Kid Cudi, who, you know, was an ex. He's had a really fun career. I was looking at his resume. He was in that John Woo movie Silent Night. He was also in Don't Look Up. So yeah, I kind of want to see him in more horror and stuff. That was actually really good.
I mean, I bet you would want to see more of him in horror, Jason.
Yeah, I'd love to see more Kid Cudi, if you know what I mean.
I mean, you've seen all of Kid Cudi.
But yeah, overall, really fun, really good, solid EC Comics inspired episode. Of the first four that we've gone through, this is the most EC Comics.
Yeah, for sure.
It did one thing. I kind of want to know what it's like as like a costume designer or as an actor to put on like a full on Nazi uniform. Like, do you just get like a weird, like icky feeling doing that? Or like, are you just like a professional that you just,
If you felt really good about it, I think you should look in the mirror and have a conversation with yourself.
Well, I'm not saying good, but like, you have like a moment of pause. Also, it was weird, again, thinking about the timeline and the setting that was like pristinely clean. You're still like in the war zone. It looked a little too clean for my taste, but
it's always the budget of how much time you have, what you have to do. One of my favorite episodes of Amazing Stories is Day at the Beach, where I believe Charlie Sheen, and it's kind of like D-Day. They're going in with the troops, and then there's a guy who's like the nerdy guy that they all pick on. That's the first like full half of the episode, and then this guy becomes like this huge hero and saves their asses. This nerdy dorky guy, and then when they get back, the Amazing Story part, he disappears. He goes over a ridge. He disappears. When they get back, he's laying there on the beach and he's dead. And they said, "What happened?" This guy was, you know, he was a hero. He saved us all. And the guy who drives the boat up says he never made it off the boat. And it's like, whoa, it was that. But, you know, you compare that now to like Band of Brothers, where they're dirty and they're sweaty and the whole bit. Even then, I thought historically, some of these guys are pretty old to be, not the Germans, but the Americans. They're like, shouldn't you be between like 17 and like 24? You know, like the sergeant seemed a little bit older than maybe he should have been. But that's nitpicking.
You see that a lot in war movies. Because I think they don't want to remind us that it wasn't like people our age, grizzled, going out to war. It was kids.
One nitpicky thing, is it me or did they not even try to shoot the lock off the jail cell? Yeah, I figured at least try that before you go straight to werewolf.
Hold on. You do know that doesn't usually work, right? Usually it happens, the bullet ricochets and hits somebody and kills them.
I mean, I would try it.
Hey, dude, they survived, though. They became werewolves. It's fine.
I know. It just seems like to go straight from, well, we're in this situation, werewolf.
See, but then if you shot the lock and it didn't work and I got shot in the leg, now I'd be a werewolf with a fucked up leg. That's not okay.
But how does that? How does that work? Do you revert back to the moment you were, you know, like on True Blood, the one redhead, she was a virgin and then she became a vampire. So then every time she had sex, she went back to being a virgin again as a vampire. Oh, really? You're just like, that's just like, okay, that's some like twisted storytelling thought things that you're going through here. Like, oh, well, I got shot before the werewolf. And I'm always going to be the bleeding guy before I become the werewolf again. And then I'm fine.
Okay.
You know?
Hey, maybe. Who knows? I'd just be upset if I had to hobble around on three legs. Because Jason decided he was going to shoot a lock.
I don't know. I feel like, again, they only have so much time. And I would have liked a lot. Again, I would love to see like a longer version of this episode to give it more time to breathe.
I'm just happy that you live in California where you can't have a gun.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Okay, this episode was directed by Rob Schraub. Wears a lot of hats. He does writing, directing, producing, and acting. He did Community, the Sarah Silverman Program, Rick and Morty. Just a really, really long, varied resume. Really talented guy. And Jeffrey Combs, Reanimator, The Frighteners, Would You Rather, then of course most recently Onyx the Fortuitous. Just a legendary guy. I know a bunch of our friends met him this weekend at Horror Hound in Cincinnati.
Nice. I was thrilled. Star Trek Enterprise, when it was on UPN, was not the best show, but when Jeffrey Combs showed up as an alien, and he was like a reoccurring alien, not quite a good guy, not quite a bad guy, had like his own agenda. I forget what he was. He was one of the blue guys on Star Trek that has actually like Shrek antennas.
Yeah.
I forget what they're called. I had to turn in my Star Trek card because I can't remember. But he was great. Like he was on, when he was on, it was like, can we just make him a member of the crew? Because he was just fantastic. He just ate it up. And he was on Deep Space Nine at the end for like a full season. He was a regular reoccurring cast member.
Oh, yeah.
He was a slimy like politician bad guy. And he was like, there he is again. It was just, and he almost had almost a human face. He was an alien, but he had like these weird ear things. He was just, he just elevates it. It's like Vincent Price being in a really bad movie. It's not really that bad once Vincent Price is in it.
Good point. Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on this segment before we move on?
For the budget, the time constraints, it was a great piece of pulp fiction. It was great.
I'm with you.
All right. The next episode or the next segment is called The Finger. So it's pretty much a one man kind of episode. At least focuses on one guy. His name is Clark. He's played by DJ Qualls. He's a lonely and resentful man who has a bitter outlook on life. He collects lost and abandoned objects. One day, he discovers a mysterious severed finger in the middle of the street. After taking the finger home, he ends up spilling beer on it, and over time, the finger gradually grows into a strange lizard-like creature he dubs Bob. Clark and Bob, or Bob Clark as one might say, manages to get along surprisingly well. But it would seem that Bob develops a habit of seeking out and killing anyone who angers his new owner, presenting Clark with their body parts as morbid offerings while attracting the attention of the two police detectives. When the police ultimately find him trying to dispose of the heads of his ungrateful stepchildren in his garbage disposal, Clark is committed to an asylum. Proceeding to go insane, Clark tells the viewers that Bob loves him and will come for him as he hears Bob making sounds outside his window.
Everyone needs a friend like Bob.
Everyone needs a Bob.
Yeah.
All right, Mondo, start us off.
I love this episode. DJ Qualls is fantastic in it, and he really drives it in a kind of a one-man show. It also, his only fault in the whole episode is when the cops came to his door, first words out of his mouth should have been, "I want a lawyer." But no, he's still there to answer questions. And man, and how cool was Bob? Like, I know Bob's supposed to be this grotesque creature, but I love when he thinks Bob's attacking him, and then he yells, and Bob gets scared and covers his face. And then you see Bob eating popcorn while he's watching his shows, and he's standing in front of Bob, and Bob's trying to look around. I'm like, God damn it, this is my show, my soaps. And I love the fact that, like, man, Bob's just a loyal dude. He just wants to make sure his human is happy. Bob is basically a cross between a Mogwai, a gremlin, and a dog.
Yeah, he's in the body of like an albino xenomorph.
Yeah.
But like
if you saw a thing come out of a pod, it'd fit right in the alien universe. In fact, I'm just challenging anyone out there that makes an aliens film to somehow fit Bob in there. You don't have to make a big deal about it. Just show him the background. Just walk scaring around or something.
And he can fly. How cool is that?
Far.
Bob is very awesome. Far.
All right. Speaking of Bob's, Bob, what did you think?
I thought that was funny. I got to be on an episode with a character named Bob. DJ Qualls, I have not seen him in like forever. I think the last thing I saw him in might have been Lost of all things, and that was a while ago. And really like him as an actor, and clearly he's typecast because he has such a physical appearance. He is very gaunt, very skinny. So it was nice to see him play not so much like a nerdy kid, but just kind of like a nerdy guy. I thought it was like Mono said, it was a one-man show, and he was really, really good. So, I mean, I hope, you know, there's more parts out there. He can start creating parts for himself. Maybe he does. I definitely like to look at him. I loved him in The Wrong Guy. I think that was the movie that he was in with Elijah Dukes. I mean, it's a really bad send up on 80s comedies and stuff, teen comedies, but he's really good in it. And it's kind of a heartfelt movie too. But this was, he brought that heartfeltness to the role. Like, you felt bad for the guy. Like, when you hear about like what his stepchildren were putting him through and how awful his ex-wife was, you just felt bad for the guy. So when somebody actually, or something, comes in, shows him a little love and tenderness and care, you're kind of like, yeah, well, why not? You know, why not? It doesn't matter. You know, it didn't matter what he looked like. He cared for him. And that was, I like that part of it. That's the nice flip side to this, the horror genre sometimes. Mm-hmm. That the weird looking thing can actually be your best friend. I thought he kind of looked like a baby pumpkin head and the little, and the xenomorph, like,
tail,
the face hugger. I thought it was like a combination of those two. So it was nice to see maybe the budget for this whole two-part, you know, segment maybe went to that puppetry and a little bit of that the creatureness, because they really did give it a character. It just wasn't sitting there, which was a thing for Masters of Horror. Sometimes you can tell when they ran out of money. But I really thought that this was this was great. I mean, I really like this is that really fun, twisted Twilight Zone thing where you're just like, yep, I'm totally in. If it wasn't for like the sexual situations they talked about or the swearing, it would have been a Twilight Zone. It would have been, you know. But when he's just hammering the body parts into the garbage disposal. And I was like, talk about not giving a shit. You're just like, yeah, and he's wiping it up. He's wiping the blood up. And I was like, yeah, this is perfect for Shudder. This is Shudder TV at its best.
My dad brain was thinking, how many horsepower is that garbage disposal? I don't think it's going to crush those bones up.
I was like, how would you get rid of two heads? Like,
well, and I'm from a cop family, and my dad did work in he works for the crime lab, and I used to hear about stuff, and he would tell me stories or let me look at not picture books but definitely like scientific books how people did things and stuff. And I was thinking, like, do they look at garbage disposals when somebody's missing? Because I was like, that seems really kind of like too obvious,
right?
You know, the trash can, the backyard, but does somebody go, we need you to drop something into the garbage disposal and do a swab in there?
There's a clump of hair stuck in there.
Oh, we found some teeth.
You mentioned Baby Pumpkinhead. Now I want a movie with, like, Lynn Shay would be perfect for this, where she's a nanny at an orphanage for all these baby monsters. I want Baby Pinhead, like a baby xenomorph, like a facehugger or whatever, baby xenomorph, baby predator. They had been raised by somebody, right?
They all somehow
get brought and dropped off to Lynn chasing.
Like, that's awesome.
The predator dad's like, I have to go buy some milk, and drops a baby off at the fire. The orphanage runs away. Like, I'm in for this.
Yeah.
I bet Barbara Crampton would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I love Barbara Crampton. She just sounds like that. She did not. That sounded cool. Yeah.
I didn't think that was like to say, oh yeah, she'd do it. Okay. No, I was like, no, yeah. I want her to do it. No, this is gonna be good.
No, I really like this. I like that, like, they brought him to the edge of what we would consider an incel kind of type, but they didn't go anywhere. But they didn't, like, go over that edge, or they didn't, like, go in there. Part of me was like, oh no, is this where we're going?
They did a tiny bit by the way he was talking about his ex-wife, but it wasn't on the nose or anything.
But then they justified his anger.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So it wasn't like, yeah. So I like that they're able to depict an angry man, an angry single man, divorced man, but not make him be a huge asshole. Like, I'm sure this isn't the most pleasant guy to be around, but they didn't go over the top with it. So that was kind of nice. This is directed by Greg Nicotero. I think he directs at least one of the segments, is what I'm realizing, in each episode. I love DJ Qualls. I mean, Hustle and Flow was a great movie. I love Road Trip when that came out when I was in college.
I forgot about Hustle and Flow. That's such a good movie. It's such a good movie.
And he was most recently in Cabinet of Curiosities, which, Bob, have you watched that?
Oh, I think we watched one or two, and then the second kid showed up. So it really
killed
the TV time.
He's in the Dreams of the Witch House episode, which is a really fantastic episode.
Really? So I thought, wasn't that my least favorite one?
I remember that.
He's a Man in the High Castle as well, if you guys have ever seen that. And very good in there, because he played kind of a different role than he usually plays.
Okay. Yeah, so I think he's actually a very underrated actor.
I agree.
So, there's a lot of funny moments in this, a lot of dark humor. You know, the way that Bob keeps bringing in, like, a cat would bring mouse to, you know, to your doorstep is very cat-like.
Immediately what I thought of when a cat brings that mouse, you know. I'm just like, sure.
It's such great model and creature work. You know, there might have been a couple parts in the week, like in the background, we just walk around that CG, but it's out of focus, so you can't really tell. But overall, yeah, hats off to them for that creature. And again, it's almost sad when you have an anthology like this where it's like, well, I guess we'll never see that creature again.
You never know.
But I'd love to see a Bob and Clark miniseries.
Or is it like in a glass jar in another episode? And you're like, oh, is that Bob? Did they get him?
Ooh.
Now, my question is, at the end where he's just kind of talking to whoever about this, are we to believe that Bob was a figment of his imagination?
I would say no. I would say no because of the noises coming out from outside the cell.
But again, if everything's from his perspective, he could have imagined Bob as an excuse to attack all the people that have wronged him.
Yeah, you could definitely take him as the unreliable narrator character. But I want to believe Bob. I just want to believe. I want to believe that Bob was real.
Well, yeah, I kept waiting for Bob at the window, the hands to come up at the end, but I think it's the spinning top from Inception. You know what I mean? Like, it's up to you to decide whether or not what you witnessed was real or not, if you believed him or not. I thought the portrayal of the actor made me believe that Bob was real. So that's how I believed it at the end. I was like, yeah, Bob was real.
I was kind of thinking of that episode. There's a Tales Group episode called, I think, Dead Right or Dead Weight. I forget which one. That's directed by Walter Hill with the journalist. He's telling a story, and then at the very end, you find out that he's actually in prison because he killed a bunch of people.
Oh, I think, yeah. Well, I know you guys have seen them all. I think I've seen that one. So long
ago. Yeah. It's interesting the way they pair these together, because the first one is like very easy comics, very traditional, and then this one is way out. Totally different format and trying something very new. And I love both when it comes down to it.
I think the vibe, though, still fit in. They still fit with the same vibe. Like, it didn't feel like it was a huge departure.
Yes, the vibe is definitely, I'm not saying it's like a departure of vibe, but like as far as the narrative and.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah.
I wonder if there's a thought process to what they do. It's like they have all the little scripts and they lay it out, and then they're like, all right. Is it budget constraints or is it flavor? You know what I mean? Like, all right, we've got werewolves and we've got a little funky monster who's killing people. These two go together. You know, next week we've got, I believe I saw the one with those kids set somebody on fire at Halloween, which is really depressing, but really good. And then I even forget what the second one was, because that first one just literally burned into my brain about how awful that was and that those kids got what they deserved. So like, how do they, you know, or is it just timing? This one is 18 pages. This one's 22 pages. We put them together, you know, and that's how it is. I don't know what's done first, what's brought in under budget. It could be all of those things. It could be none of those things.
No.
So that's what makes the show fun. And then, you know, we'll get to a point where we just like, skip that one. I'm going to the next one with the Nazi werewolves and I'm going to watch that one instead of this one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about it being digestible. Where I know you guys grew up like I did with Tales from the Crypt, like on TV, where you were stuck with that episode. You know, you just couldn't watch what you wanted. You had to watch, hey, I just wanted to watch Tales from the Crypt. I don't care which one it is. I'm just going to watch it. Just like watching The Twilight Zone. You were happy it was on. You didn't care which one it was.
All right. Any other thoughts on this segment?
No, aside from it's super enjoyable.
I like that the cops are just kind of like throwaway. I did like the part where he just like closes the door and you're like, oh, he just shut the door in front of the cops. He's like, actually, I did this 20 minutes later, but.
Oh, because by the way, you are 100% allowed to close the door on the cops if they don't have a search warrant. Just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have anything. I know my rights.
Doesn't look good.
No, that's for my lawyer to figure out.
All right, let's do our rating again, Bob. We do 0 to 5, 5 being the best, 0 being the worst. You do half points. We'll do a rating for each segment. What rating do you give for each of these segments?
I'm going to get over my historical accuracies of the first one and go with a 5 for the first one and a 5 for the second one. I had so much fun just watching both once I could turn off my brain for the first one. And I was like, I haven't watched anything that just really made me just smile as I'm watching it and just kind of like applaud for what I was seeing and how ridiculous, but yet how fun and true to the story that it was being told was. So that was very refreshing. It's been a while. I enjoyed both. I'd highly recommend, you know, season 1, episode 2, definitely check it out. It's you'll have a little bit of little monsters, big monsters, werewolves, Nazis get killed. DJ Squall's one man show. It's his cat away. You know, it's so good.
All right, Mondo.
I'm going to give it a couple of 5s as well. We talk sometimes the beauty of a movie or whatever is like when you watch it, the mental state you're in. I had a rough day at work, and this is exactly why I needed to pick me up, because I think if I'd have had to watch a Black Mirror episode tonight, I might have just driven my car into the lake. And the lake's like a 45-minute drive from my house, so that's how you know how serious I'd have to be to drive my car into the lake. So yeah, big fan of this. Just a lot of fun. A lot of goofiness, and you know, I really enjoy it. And Tales from the Crypt did it too, when they get so much mileage out of a very small, self-contained short, where it's basically one setting, just one main actor, and the fact they got that much out of it's always impressive.
I'm doing 4.5 for the werewolf segments. And that's really only because I didn't find the werewolves to be anything that interesting as far as design. Would have gotten
a 5 if they'd have shot the lock.
and then hit someone in the face, yes. And then also, like, I think they just tried to do too much in one episode. Again, this would have been better if it was twice as long. Again, I'm nitpicking, and only because I feel bad. I feel weird that for us all to give 5s. But I am giving a 5 to the finger, because that episode just rocks. And I know you can buy a figurine of the head from the last episode. I want a figurine of Bob.
I just want a real Bob. It's just to hang out, take out my enemies.
Or a plushie.
If anyone's listening, I'd definitely buy a Bob. I would, Benny Loves You plushie, I'd definitely get the Bob plushie.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on. Mondo, do you have a song of the day for us?
I do, and it's a little bit off the beaten path of what I usually go for. And it's still, I guess it's a hard rock song, you could say. But there's a really cool song by Thin Lizzy called Old Moon. Have you ever heard this? Called Old Moon Madness. A big Thin Lizzy fan, by the way. And I think one of the more underappreciated bands to come out of that late 60s, early 70s rock and roll era. And the song is kind of interesting because the main singer, Phil Lynott, who passed away, he passed away young. He passed away at like 35, 36 from heroin. But he's a phenomenal singer. And this one, he's kind of sitting down with that Irish accent and having a chat for part of it and telling you the story of this werewolf tale before it gets into, you know, guitar theatrics and all that. But it's a really, really fun song, really, really good song from a band that just doesn't really get the credit they deserve. So I'm going Thin Lizzy, all the way from Ireland, on the 1971 EP, A New Day, the song Old Moon Madness.
Nice. Jody's not here for horror news. I don't really have anything, but except we have two amazing trailers, or at least like big time trailers that came out this week. I feel like we need to talk about. The first one that came out was for Alien Romulus, which looks freaking amazing. Fede Alvarez, who did the Evil Dead remake. It looks bloody. It looks claustrophobic. It's kind of going, everyone keeps saying, oh, going back to the roots. You know, that's what they always say when they do like a new episode in a you know, legendary property. But this one really seems to be nailing that, at least from what we've seen.
I think people overstate the violence in that first movie, because there is violence in it, don't get me wrong. There are some brutal scenes, but most of that movie works because of the atmosphere of dread. Where the Romulus trailer definitely looked like we're going to see some more splatter, which I'm all for.
Yeah, and just like there's like one shot where there's like, I don't know, like 5 or so, maybe 10 face huggers kind of scurrying in the background. One is kind of popping out. I'm like, okay, that's what I want to see from an alien movie. Skimmy face huggers and Xenomorphs fucking shit up. I like Prometheus quite a bit for more of the philosophical, the ideas it has, but as an alien movie,
I like Prometheus because it was something very different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, 3 and 4, they have their elements that are, you know, interesting. You know, 1 and 2, two's the perfect sequel. It surpasses the original. It's just one of those movies. But I like Prometheus because it was just so very different. But then Covenant, whatever the next thing was just god awful.
I didn't watch Covenant because I read the reviews after it came out, and I was like, oh, and they were like, there wasn't even mixed reviews. It was pretty much universal that it was bad.
Bad.
Yeah, I'll say there are a few moments I like. It's but mostly with Michael Fassbender's character.
The other thing too to mention, I think Prometheus, when it came out, I think they were very careful not to market it as an alien film.
But they still had like the screeching noise in the trailer.
Yeah, but I think
they had the one that was like this, like on top of the ship at one shot. Yeah, and it was.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. What I hope from Romulus is that we got in the trailer very much. It's an alien movie, and it's supposed to be sandwiched between 1 and 2. But I want to see. I don't want a rehash of the things I've already seen. You know, I've seen space truckers fight aliens. I've seen Marines fight aliens. And then I saw Prisoners, and then I saw Pirates. You know, what is going to stand this out from the story and hopefully add a new chapter and inspire us in a different direction. You know, I have hope. I like the fact that it was supposed to be Hulu and then went to the theater. So that's good. And maybe that'll bode well for the next Predator movie, because Prey was so good. And you're like, how is this not in the theater? Like, you guys are missing out. Like, this is a really well-done movie.
If I'm not mistaken, with Prey, I don't think Hulu thought it was going to be as popular as it was. I don't think they I think that kind of maybe sparked their brain for this one, saying, oh, this, we should be putting this good stuff in the theater and making money on it. Or because, and also, I would love to see, if they released Prey tomorrow in the theater, I'd want to go see it.
Well, yeah, I think Prey just has like those big landscape shots that you just want to see on the big screen. That's what we want in the movie theater.
And it's
still good TVs now, but it's still not the same.
It is bookable because that we had talked about it at my job about getting it, and then I think the Egyptian did a 35 millimeter screening of it, or I think they had they had something special. Awesome. Yeah, so they do have theatrical elements for it, which is interesting as we get in the streaming world, because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that'd be considered a TV movie that you couldn't do that in the theaters. And now you're like, oh yeah, you can book Werewolf by Night. Sure.
That's awesome.
35 millimeter print of that too. So yeah. So there is, that is nice. And it is nice. You could have all the Alien movies in one, Predator movies, like in one day, or you wanted to pick and choose which one you wanted to put together and show. Yeah. So, but I would love to see, I'd love to see a samurai versus a predator, you know, like in feudal Japan. Like, let's do that. Like, I just like this other, they're not G.I. Joe fighting, you know, a predator. There's a different element, a different flavor, a different taste, a different thing at stake. You know, just that, I think that's what we want. We want to see the challenge of taking one down. And Prey gave us that. They really gave us a challenge.
Yeah. And definitely fits in with the Predator, you know, the mythos. And they can kind of do like, that's what the Assassin's Creed games have done, where you're kind of this assassin, you're the same assassin, theoretically, but you're in these different time periods with different foes. And that, I want to see him versus a samurai too, or versus Vikings.
There's so many different things. You could do Zulu warriors, like an army of Zulus, like fighting, like, you know, like a Predator crash ship.
Medieval knights, you know, there's so many.
Oh yeah, Knights Templar. They're bringing back they're coming back from the Crusade, and they end up encountering one. You know, that'd be like, that's crazy. It'd be so much fun.
Here's what you do: you have them go, and they go back to the Middle Ages and start fighting the knights. And then, just when you think all is lost, here comes Bruce Campbell, Ashley Williams, with his boomstick, and starts fucking predators up.
That'd be awesome. The other big trailer we got was Beetlejuice. And I just rewatched Beetlejuice a couple weeks ago with my daughter, showing it to her for the first time, and she loved it. And I showed her this trailer. It's like the first time I think I've shown her a trailer, and she's just like got over like excited. It was just like over the moon for the idea of seeing this. So it doesn't give us much at all. It gives us even less, I think, than the Alien trailer does. But again, it gives us the vibe. And
Perfect trailer. That's all you need. Like, I hate too many details in my trailer. This trailer was quick. All it shows is, oh, look, here's some characters you might recognize, and here's Beetlejuice, and you're going to have a good time.
Don't need to watch another trailer. I have the date. I just ordered 6 posters for the theater.
Nice.
You know,
but like, even has the same tracking shot as like the, and like when they're kind of introducing the town from the original with, usually I don't like when they have like the slow, moody cover of a song, but like the whole Deo bit is just so ridiculous. And then hearing a slow cover of Deo is just,
I think it's kind of a spoof on all these movies nowadays that try to slow down a song to make it sound creepy. Yeah. And you know, Jordan Peele did it fantastically, but I think a lot of other people who are doing it are kind of not as well. I'll put it that way. It was very creepy, and now it kind of stands out like a sore thumb in a not good way. But I like the Deo because, again, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're excited for it at the theater. We're actually going to have a Beetlejuice. We'll have a Friday night screening, but we're going to do a Saturday night Beetlejuice party. Mm-hmm. Black and white stripes, and tell everybody to dress up. Like, we really, you know, good or bad, you know, let's just have fun with it. You know, if we get through that, I told some of my coworkers, they're all excited. I'm like, hey guys, I've been to this show numerous times. let's do Superman, Star Wars twice, Ghostbusters twice. You know, we can just go through the list. Just enjoy the ride till we get there. If the movie's great, awesome. If it's not, you had a lot of fun. The Have anticipation. Fun. The anticipation right. is going to be more fun. And then we can all go to the store and buy all the other Beetlejuice stuff that we want and we never got the first time around. So Hell not yeah. that they Hell don't yeah. put new stuff out in the stores every Halloween true. Now. I just got the Bio Exorcist sign last Halloween for my kitchen. I showed this to my wife. She's like, cool. Oh, yes, we're putting that in the kitchen. I was like, perfect. There we go.
My wife and I always joke that whenever Spirit Halloween's opened up, that's the one time a year we have to buy home decor. That's when Spirit Halloween opens or whatever Halloween store around town.
That's when I can buy a thing for my office and nowhere else in the house.
Just a couple cool releases in theaters. Love Lies Bleeding still in theaters.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
I was a big fan of that one. Kristen Stewart's fantastic in it and playing really outside of her wheelhouse.
I don't want to spoil anything, but I heard one review that said the ending kind of gets weird. I don't know what that means.
It definitely does. The ending almost took me out of it until I kind of realized I had to think about it. Then you got to think about it.
Okay.
But also Ed Harris is phenomenal in it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was in it. Wow. Okay.
He's like long hair. It looks like Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
You know what? Real life Simpsons episode, Simpsons movie. Ed Harris is Mr. Burns. There you go.
Damn, that's a good one. That's a good one. And Immaculate is out in theaters. I'd highly recommend that one. Just a new
that's right. Your wife was out there. You just saw all the movies.
So yeah, it's all the movies. And then tomorrow night, I'm gonna go see Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, I really want to see that too.
We just booked that. It's gonna open for us on Friday.
I saw you guys post that, and I was like, I mean, I see you guys post all the cool stuff, and I'm always jealous.
which is nice of you to say, because I get emails all the time of, why are you doing this again? Why are you booking? Why aren't you booking this? Or why aren't you booking that? And it's like, it's nice to have somebody say, thank you for booking something that I actually want to see.
I think it might be people that are almost spoiled by too much of a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I look at it as like, man, if your theater was in Las Vegas, I don't care. Show fucking Ghostbusters every weekend. I'll come see it twice a month. it's good. And I think what people don't realize too is sometimes you do multiple screenings because you might not be able to catch it the first time. So you want to catch it the second time. And
we've gotten a lot of flack for that. Like, why are you doing a whole weekend of Jurassic Park? And it's like, well, it's the same price to show it once as it is to show it all weekend. And this gives a family who could not come at 1 o'clock on Saturday because they had a baseball game or a picnic or something like that, or heaven forbid it rains, they're like, hey, 7 o'clock, we're going to Jurassic Park. You know, we actually can go. Or Sunday night, we're going to go see Jurassic Park. You know, we're going to spend time with the family and do that. People are like, why are you doing that? And it's like, because it's a good movie and people like it and it's fun.
And you guys do such a variety of things there. It's not like if you don't like what's on this weekend, it's not like you're not going to have something you'll like something. There's going to be something there that you're going to like. So those just if you guys are emailing Bob and hating on his picks, like, just fucking stop. Just get out of here. Just be happy that you have a theater that plays cool movies and a really cool atmosphere nearby.
Yes, thank you.
You guys have a great drive through too. Like, man, it's just fucking just jealous. I'm just so jealous.
Maybe next year we are each other go. I really need to find an excuse.
I really want to go this year for the anniversary, but it just wasn't in the cards, sadly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, 26, we don't even know yet. There's all kinds of things.
Maybe you could premiere.
Oh, that's right. 26 is the anniversary. That's right.
No. This is the 26th is this year. Oh, okay. 26th. You know, as we get closer, you know, we add more years and stuff. It's just like, we always figure, how can we top from one year to the next? And it's, you know, there's things that fall in our lap sometimes. And other things are just like, when Mystery Science Theater came in, that fell in our lap. That was great. But then we, you know, we never know. Like, all of a sudden, Chuck Russell could say, hey, I want to come and talk about my movie. And I got Shawnee and Kevin, and they all want to come and be a part of this. You don't know if something like that could happen.
Now, you know, what if they wanted to premiere the new Blob at your theater?
There would be no argument from anyone in our staff.
That'd be so cool.
Without a doubt, it would be added to the screening probably the following year. If we just would not have it when it came out anyway, we would have to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird.
It'd be really cool if in the new one they put a shot of the Colonial in there, just somehow.
That's me, yeah.
Even if it doesn't serve a big purpose, because I think that'd be such a cool thing for people, like you know, the fact that the theater's still open and people can see, oh crap, that's where I go. But also, anyone who's a fan of the original being able to see that, I think would be really cool.
But hey, we're open to suggestions. We are open to filming. We do commercials for people all the time. We did a cheese commercial, I think, last year. Somebody came in and wanted to shoot in the theater, and we did a cheese commercial. We are open to all kinds of ideas, and we would just add one more thing to our long list of things that we've done and celebrate our theater as well as the movie itself.
Awesome. All right, for dad advice, Bob, since you're now twice a father, I thought you'd give us some advice on how to handle having a newborn and a slightly older child at the same time.
I have a four-year-old, and I have a two-month and 5 days. And my last advice was really touching, and you guys really all liked that one. So I thought I would go with just basic human needs. Go to the bathroom whenever you have the chance. Before I come home from work, I go to the bathroom. If the one kid's asleep and the other kid's watching TV, I go to the bathroom. Because you never know when you're going to be trapped under the sleeping two-month-old, or you get, Daddy, can you please sleep with me tonight so that I can, you know, because, you know, he's scared or the monsters are, he had a bad day or whatever. And then you're like, yes, but you hadn't gone to the bathroom yet. So then you play this game where you're wide awake, your bladder is just crushing you. And you're like, is he asleep yet? If I move, he's going to get up. So how long can I sleep there? How long can I just lay still? Then, you know, you do the coyote ugly, the tuck and roll, and you're just you're ready to chew your own arm off. But you're like, I really have to go to the bathroom. So go to the bathroom whenever the opportunity arises, especially if you're at work. You're like, you know what? I only work like 5 minutes from home. I go to the bathroom. I'm going to go there and just I'm done, you know, because I know when I go home, the wife's going to be like, can you please hold him? I have to go to the bathroom. So I ended up holding the two kids. I'm wrangling one. The other one's sleeping. I'm trying to catch the pacifier as it's falling. Go to the bathroom. You're going to really appreciate this. Just remember, I got a free moment. I got to go to the bathroom.
I mean, that's great advice everywhere. Because like, if I leave somewhere, if I'm going to Home Depot and grabbing something, I'm like, huh, I might have to pee. I'm going to go to the bathroom just in case. Because nothing's worse than having to pee and not being able to.
I think it's one of those men of a certain age conditions. Once you reach,
also taking a four-year-old to the bathroom is a whole other nightmare in itself. Because you're like, don't touch anything. What are you touching that? Why are you touching the? Why? Don't touch. Don't touch. Can you just stand there? I have to go. You don't have to go. The handicap bathroom at Target is great because it's like a huge box, and you just shut the door. But now he can open the handle himself, so you're still going, and he's like click click. Oh, and he's popping his head out into the store. You're like, that is so. If you go to the bathroom before he leaves to go to Target, you're in the clear zone. But of course, that's usually when he gets in the cart and says, I have to go to the bathroom. So then you start the whole other craziness of don't touch that. Don't touch this. Don't. Oh, why are you touching that? You know, and you know, oh, it's just.
Why did you put that in your mouth? Why?
Why are you doing? And I'm trying to explain germs to him. And that's just a whole other thing. You know, we went to an Easter egg hunt on Saturday and it was inside because the weather was so bad. I was like, we're all going to get sick. We're all going to get sick. This is just terrible.
This is how COVID started.
Initially, remember, the kids weren't getting it. There were no, like, kids were not infected.
That's right.
So everybody thought, why aren't the kids infected? And then it took like a couple of months, and then it was like, oh, the first four-year-old got it. And it was like, oh, well, finally, you know, now the kids can get it too. Dogs got it at one point.
Yeah, dogs and felines too. All got the COVID.
That's my dad advice.
Yeah.
I like
the
it.
Other thing my son used to do a lot was he would just drop trowel like all the way to go to the urinal in the public bathroom.
That's whatever, man. Like I think when you walk in and see the little kid doing that, you just laugh and go about your business.
Yeah. I don't want the Costanza where he has the shirt off yet. Like we don't want to go through that. So I'm telling him to like you do the tuck your shirt up under your arms. Okay. And you don't pee on your shirt, you know. So we're going all that. But as far as bathroom dad advice goes, as soon as he saw me stand and pee, he had to stand and pee. And that was it. And I was like, oh my God, that was the easiest thing ever. I want to be like daddy. So then he would go and you're like, oh my God. Like, I thought this was going to be like a whole thing. Like this big process. Nope.
You know, my child was real easy too, because I think she realized very early she hated having a wet diaper. So when we started potty training, she took to it right away. She's like, "No, I don't want to go back to this bullshit anymore."
Yeah.
So this is a twin problem, because my son, you know, he has a twin sister, and she can only go potty sitting down. So it took him a while to figure out that he doesn't have to do that way all the time, because he thought, you know,
but you can sit down. As a male, it's okay. Like in the mornings, I like to sit down because I'm tired and groggy.
Yeah. Do any of you have the male friends that are only allowed to sit at
allowed?
Home?
Hold on a second. Allowed?
They have to sit when they go.
What is there? Is there a fucking ring camera attached to the toilet? So you open it up, it takes live view.
I had a friend. He was not allowed to stand and pee at home. Wow. He had to sit down. Because he's obviously divorced from this woman now. But he just said it because we were playing Guitar Hero the one day. I was like, I've got to go to the bathroom. He's like, okay, you got to sit. I was like, what? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, if you pee on the wall or something, or, you know, the stream goes to the side, I'm going to hear about it. So she's going to think it was me. You got to sit. I was like,
you should take him to see a urologist.
I was like, what?
The way you're describing, like, he had this urgency in his voice, like, for the love of God, please sit down in peace. I don't get yelled at by this woman.
And I was just like, oh, there's a lot going on here. Like, this is scary.
Is that bad? Is it like a kidney stone? Yeah. Or?
My follow up is: did you sit? And if you didn't, did you let intrusive thoughts?
I probably did. So she, you know, so he wouldn't get in trouble.
I might have let my intrusive thoughts take over and just peed all over the bathroom and went home.
It's like awful to say, if I didn't like the guy, I probably would have just, you know what? Let's just see what happens here.
I can see him like walking the door. He's hand him adult Depends and says, just put this on, man. It was all in trouble.
I like in the middle of the night, if I have to go to the bathroom, I'll sit down because I'm like, I can't even, I'm disoriented. I can't even see the toilet and I don't want to clean up my own pee in the morning. So I'll just sit down. But like, other than that, it's so convenient. Being able to stand and pee is so convenient. Let's be honest. Like, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this podcast, ask your wife right now, saying, do you wish you could stand up when you pee? And they'd be like, yeah, I definitely do. What you can do as a female as well. It's just not as, there's going to be so
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take the show that way.
This isn't mom advice.
This is the golden hour of Dads from the Crypt.
It's golden something.
But twins, I wouldn't even think that would be like that, Jason, that you would have the boy and the girl and they would be like, well, why can't I do this and you can't do that? And yeah,
it's a whole thing.
Wow. Yeah, and now, is there any other little twin things? Because I've heard, I met a chef once that he and his brother lived next door to each other. They were twins because it was like they had to be that close. Like, I was just like, really? And he's like, yeah, my brother and I live. Why wouldn't we? And I was just like, because you're your own person, you know?
I mean, they've been sleeping in the same room their whole lives, and they're almost 10, and they haven't brought up the idea of sleeping in separate rooms at all. So I think they're just like, they're just that close.
Okay. So do they have any weird?
And then relatively near future, they're probably going to want their own room. But
right. Do they have any weird telekinetic powers where they talk to each other or anything, or their own twin language?
Not that they let me know about.
Which they shouldn't. Like, if they can do that, they shouldn't tell me.
Yeah, exactly. If they could, I doubt they'd tell me.
That's how you get experimented on by the government. Like, you don't want that to happen.
Their names aren't Luke and Leia, are they?
No. No.
If they were, they'd be destined to kiss, and that's just weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just weird.
Though my neighbor's dogs are Lando and Chewie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, they went the Lando Chewie route. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode. Bob, thank you for joining us. Where can people follow you in the Colonial Theater?
The Colonial Theater is, we spell it a little bit different. It's thecolonialtheater.com, but theater is spelled with an R-E at the end, not an E-R. If you go to the E-R one, you're going to go to Maine. We are the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. We're about 20, 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia. We live in we're right outside of Valley Forge. So, you know, we're Washington, did the encampment, and, you know, raised the Continental Army to be what it was. We are right outside of Valley Forge. There's other filming locations around us. If you're a big M. Night Shyamalan fan, several of his movies are shot in our area. So there's lots of you know, things that you can see. You know, it's a great location to come see a movie. We have a great place. Personally, you can follow me on Instagram under The Movie Lord, all one word. I did not pick that name. That name was given to me by a very irate Blockbuster patron one day when I was a Blockbuster. I worked at Blockbuster. And my coworker put The Movie Lord on my name tag, and then she handed it to me. And I literally took it home, and I was like, I'm never going to give this up. When Instagram was new, actually, I think I did it on MySpace first. The Movie Lord, and then I moved it to Instagram and Twitter, but I left Twitter like about a year or so ago. So you can follow me there. I usually post what we're programming, what we're doing. I try to give teases and stuff, but then I also have very large soundtrack collection and toys and all that kind of fun stuff. But most of it's all movie related things. So that's where you can find us. The Colonial, we have a Facebook page. We have an X account. We also have Instagram, which is The Colonial Theater. But for Blobfest, we have it on Facebook, Instagram, and X, of course. And that's when we post all of our stuff. So right now, if you go to the Facebook Blobfest page, you'll see like a mega poster with all of our actors or performers. We have our host, Aurora Gorealis, is going to come back. She hosts our Friday night show. She also has a band called Beach Creeper, and they perform. And then we have our cast of characters that help fill in kind of like the story and the theme for the weekend. They're all there. And then we have all kinds of contests, costume contests. We have a short film contest that gets better and better every year. And then we pick three or four winners. We give them trophies, but then we also show your short film all day long on Saturday in one of our theaters. We just loop them. It's about 25, 30 minutes, and you can come in and see all the shorts.
That's cool.
Which is great because we try to tie it together with a theme. So instead of just getting somebody's short film that they made like 8 years ago, we say it has to have the blob in it, and then we try to give it some sort of element that you have to have in it. So this year it's going to be the number 25. Has to be somewhere visibly in the movie. Last year it was the blob, and then it had to have like a stick. So we were doing the scene where Olin Howard as the old man pokes the meteorite, and then the blob comes out. So you had to have a stick, and the blob had to be on it in some fashion. And people got really creative. But if you don't do that, we immediately eliminate you. You're like, well, you didn't read the instructions. You know, it's like, I don't need your student film from, you know, 3 years ago. We're trying to do something wrapped around our festival. But the Facebook and the Instagram for Blobfest, besides just becoming a member of the Colonial and getting our, you know, our newsletter and stuff, if you become a member, you can actually get your Blobfest Friday night run out tickets on April 4th. So you can actually get them a day early. And I bring this up because it is the one thing that sells out is our Friday night show. We sell over 600 seats for that event. And we let everybody who's down on the floor run out, and then we let everybody in the balcony ooze out. And it's just it's your chance to it's like 90 seconds and you're out the door. The press is out there. All the Philadelphia press comes out. We've had helicopters and drones covering it already. And it's just great. The whole town is out there. It's like the running of the bulls, and everybody's out there to watch you. We have people in costumes. We've had Santa Claus. We had a great blob last year. One of the short films made their own blob, and it was a guy kind of looked like Bender from Futurama, covered in pink slime. And
amazing.
He even had glowing eyes. He was amazing. And that's I gave awesome. That whole crew free tickets if they brought him in costume, and it was totally worth it.
That's amazing.
So it's just a really fun event. You're not going to find anything else like it. And then the next day we just have this full day of movies, but the Blobfest page has all the information. If you become a member, you get a day early to buy your tickets. We will sell out of the run out show. We always do. And then the Blob itself, there are, it's usually like the first show and the last show on Saturday will sell 600 seats for people to watch the Blob. So it's your chance to actually watch it with an audience. And the cheering, the laughing, you know, all of that is so different than just watching it at home. You can watch the Blob on HBO right now. What fun is that? But to sit in the theater where it happens and have people laugh and cheer and even get a little heartfelt, you know, a couple times, it's really worth it. And it's, you're not going to get that experience anywhere else to watch this movie in the place where it actually happens. So it's fun.
And if you still aren't convinced, Phoenixville is also such a cool little city, little breweries everywhere, great places to eat. I had a blast. I can't wait to do it again. So I very much urge everyone to go out there and check it out at least once.
Yeah, we have more square footage of brew pubs than anywhere else in the country. And we have a lot of microbrews. We also have, you know, we have two Irish bars.
There's a distillery there too.
Oh yeah, we have a distillery. And when you were there, we had the open containers. You could walk from one end of the street to the other. Yeah. So we have open container on Bridge Street right in front of the theater where you can walk into one bar. They give you a plastic cup, take the beer, and then you can walk all the way to the other end of the street, do the street fair, see the music playing. Distilleries, they literally will sell you a bottle of gin that you don't even need to put in a paper bag and drink. And I know that because my friend Sean, who's an LA actor, was blown away by this when he came to visit during COVID. He was like, wait a minute, I don't put this in a paper bag or anything. I'm like, no, just drink it. And he's like, oh my God, it's like I got a bottle of maple syrup booze and I'm just drinking right here. But we have great places to eat. And then we have a lot of Airbnbs that you can stay in. There's only one like mini hotel in town. So if you're definitely going to come, make a year out plan to come and book an Airbnb and stay in town because traffic is tough. We close the streets down and then parking is also a nightmare. So if you can just park somewhere and just walk, you're golden. It's really nice.
I stayed at some hotel like kind of on the outskirts that people told me afterwards I probably shouldn't have stayed there because like, oh my God, you actually stayed there? I was like, yeah, it was fine. The room was clean.
I think I was at the French Creek Inn.
Yes.
Yes. My wife's best friend stayed there. She came up from Maryland and stayed there. And she was like, yeah, I didn't quite know what was going on there. Next time I'm going to stay at my mom's and drive down, which is like a 30-minute drive. She goes, I don't know. It's changed hands since that you were there. So
it was creepy. I'm not going to say it wasn't creepy. Any hotel nowadays where you still have a physical key and they show you to your room and open the door for you. It's like, how many keys do you have that can do this? Yeah. And the best part was they have like a sensor on one of the walls. I think it's for a sensor for like, I don't even know what it's for. But the first thing I saw, is that a fucking camera? So I went up there and like pulled it off the wall. I was like, oh no, let's put it back. I face the other direction, put it on the nightstand. Like,
you start doing the James Bond thing where you're looking at the top of the lamp. You know, is that a microphone or a camera? What is that right there? Yeah, definitely find an Airbnb to try and stay if you can. And that's why I say book a year out. A lot of them last year were already booked the next day. We were hearing from people like, where else can I stay? And like, it's over. And they're like, no, I'm booking for next year. And I'm like, we don't even know what the theme is yet. Like, what are you talking about booking for next year? So it's a lot of fun and it gets really crowded. I think we were somewhere around like 10,000, I think last year overall, like, you know, from Philly local and everything. So it's a lot on us. And it rained for a solid straight hour last year.
Damn.
It's like a monsoon for 1 hour and then it stopped and then it got hot. It got really hot. Wow. But there were people who hadn't even shown up yet because that was like, I think it was like around 3 o'clock. And we still had multiple screenings going on afterwards. The movies, we had Abbott and Costello, I think, right as the rain kicked in, or the Wolfman or something. So it was like, we got the movie, and the movie didn't fill up. I was like, everybody's just sitting and waiting it out. They didn't go anywhere.
All right. Well, Bob, if your couch is open next year, maybe I'll crash with you. I'll change a diaper and...
wow, and that's scary to think that he will still be in those diapers.
And maybe I'll even wear Depends if you ask nicely.
Jason will pee sitting down in your Okay, I'd think about this again now. If I'm at my friend's house and he's like, you have to pee sitting down, I'm just going to piss in the sink. Because then, you can't really splatter in the toilet.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for that guy. I don't even talk. Not that I don't talk to him. I changed jobs and I just stopped talking to him. But I was like, man. Yeah. Then I found out he got divorced. And I was like, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah.
If you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, all I can think is a Susie Essman situation where she's just, or Susie Green, where she's just emasculates Jeff every chance she gets.
All right. Well, next week we will be reviewing the Creepshow segments All Hallows Eve and The Man in the Suitcase. We appreciate everyone for listening. We would really appreciate if you give us a rating or review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify. Check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. Check us out on TikTok at Dads from the Crypt Talk. With that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Adios.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch. But be careful what you ask for. You may get it.